Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Zoom on, but a leg run's grinding home from Fear Endless. The Cunning Fox below the 200, grabbed by Allegron, threads his way through Ollie, and Allegron takes the lead in the khaki colours, and Allegron's going to come clear, the favourite on the ledger. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserves at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the line. Zaghi joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face. At the 150, Animo takes the lead from Zaghi. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck. But it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Animo holding on. Animo this time for the big A. What a from I'm Thunderstruck. El Monagon. Wicks down the middle. Kingswell Dream at the 100 is getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Arch is too good. They can't beat her.
G'day listeners, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast. If you are tuning in for the first time, it's not too late to turn back around because the last few weeks have been a little bit tough. But if you are tuning in for the first time, my name is Ben Coluzzi. I'm your host. I'm joined by Nick McGualter and the bot, Will Alford, who we call the robot. Fellas, how are we doing? We're previewing John Monash Stakes Day at Caulfield.
It's been a sad week for me. I'm mourning. Allegron's been retired.
Who's died?
Yeah.
Allegron's career. He's got a spot in my backyard if he ever wants it. He should go to Living Legends. I don't know what he's going to do now. I think Godolphin have like a pathway thing, so he'll probably go like...
They got a lifetime care thing as well.
But like he's got a spot in my backyard.
Considering
he doesn't
really
he
doesn't wear Godolphin colours anymore, maybe...
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, nah, well, if he went jumping, I would have a panic attack. I could not cope with it. So thank God that they didn't go jumping with him.
That's what he was going to do if I had
more. Yeah, well, so lucky he didn't. But yes, very sad week.
And we've plugged him straight into the intro. I thought it would sound worse than what it did, but it's not too
been
bad there.
Plenty of better, been plenty of better horses.
He fits in well.
Oh, champion. Teemu champion, maybe.
Like you.
In case you missed it, Bot threatened to leave the podcast if I didn't come in. So
to be
that's
fair,
the only reason.
To be fair, he could have fucking left.
Yeah.
He could have gone and ate Mars bars with that other fucking Muppet that commented on the fucking... in the comment section.
That was brilliant.
Oh, that was a great comment.
That was a great comment.
I don't even know what it means.
Me neither, but it was great.
just real sit to piss behavior. Fake account. Go and eat a Mars bar, you flop.
You can probably tell by my voice that I'm fighting off a bit of a cold at the moment. I'm a little bit nasally, but we'll get through it. We'll soldier on. Other news to happen this week. Couple of prize money top ups. Melbourne Cup's gone to 10 mil. Cox Plate's gone to 6. All of that has gone to the winner. So it was previously.
They should make the Cox Plate 16 million and bin the Melbourne Cup.
Wait.
One race is our best race. One race is an irrelevant day that we get a holiday for.
Whack. But yeah, so coming from a value perspective, it used to be Cox Plate 5 mil and 3 mil to the winner. Now it's 6 mil and 4 mil to the winner. So that extra million has gone in full to first place, which, you know, in terms of first place prize money, stands it right up there. So I'll put my cap on quickly and just speak about that. But yeah, 10 mil for the Melbourne Cup. They've been wanting that for a while. It's obviously our greatest race, our biggest race, and our biggest wagering race. So that's a big part of the reason why it's got that top up. But a lot of the other races have stayed the same. So there hasn't been any prize money cuts, which was a positive, I thought.
Mm.
We'll just keep getting rid of Bot and his minions and keep putting the prize money up.
Yeah,
agree?
No comment. I'll make no comment.
It's our best race. It deserves to be worth more than $6 million.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else?
I don't think so.
The sooner spring gets here, the better, because this racing's disgusting.
The blue boys are getting hammered.
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
The Bonnie Blue Boys.
The only other piece of news that I've got, obviously, is that the spring campaigns of both Antino and Via Sestina have been revealed. So that was good. Tony Gollum was on radio with Tab Radio. Is Steve Hewlett? That's Queensland, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
His radio program. So
got no idea.
He was on there, and Antino will go Memsie first up into Maccabi Diva, into Turnbull, into Cox Plate. So those are the four runs that are locked in for him. And Via Sestina will go Wink Stakes first up in Sydney and then come straight to Melbourne. Maccabi Diva second up, Turnbull third up, and Cox Plate fourth up. And you'd think she'd go to the Champion Stakes fifth up as well. So I think that's the exact same preparation as last year.
Going to be a great gamble in the Memsie first up, Antino. Cannot wait.
Yep. Give us some markets. Tab, Bet365, Sportsbet, Ladbroke, anyone. Just start giving us some futures markets because we are keen to bet.
It's going to be a sensational gamble.
All right, let's get to the racing now. We start at Caulfield. It's where we always start in Metro Melbourne. The rail is in the true position. We've got some rain tomorrow, Bot, and it's a soft six currently. So what are you thinking with the track rails in the true?
Yeah, I think the inside will probably chop out throughout the day. So I think it's watch and see and bet accordingly. But, I think I'd want to be on horses on pace, just typically at Caulfield, maybe if you want to, like, running line sort of thing.
And a horse that's going to be on pace comes up in race one at 12:05 p.m. 1,100-meter two-year-old race for the fillies and signature scent. While this horse was very impressive on debut, it's the $2.15 favorite from Castellito, $4.60 second elect on debut. So it's jumped out really nicely. Gin Spirit is $5.50. They're the only three in single figures. Tane or Orlel is $11, and so is Life After Love.
Tane Alule.
Tane Alule. How do you say that?
Tane Alule.
There you go. Is that named after something, or you just know how to say it?
I've got no idea. Just watch the replay.
All right, beautiful. Tell us what you like here, Bot, and what's your summation of the race?
Oh, I don't really. I'm not probably gonna. I might bet, but like I'm not backing anything now. I think Signature Scent went really, really well. I think it was at Bendigo. Got a soft enough time of it over 1,100 meters, and you know it's a pretty findable trainer jockey combination in the Yulong silk, so it'd be trendy, and it went really well on debut, so it's the right favorite. Castellito has trialed really, really well for, you know, Graham Begg and Jordan Child. That's another trainer jockey combination you want to find. And the Tane Alule went really, really well at Bendigo on debut, and I think probably should be a little bit shorter than what it is at $12. I'm not really interested in betting now. I'll probably wait and see for the day, and you know I'm not super keen. It's probably like more like an $8 chance for me, but you know if it drifts out in the day, I'll have something on.
Beautiful. Nico, you're not having too many bets on Saturday, but I believe you're keen to get involved here potentially.
Yeah, well, I think Signature Scent probably deserves to be maybe a touch shorter. You've got your claims for the Beg horse, but race experience counts for a lot, and yeah, I think it'll want to be a pretty good debutant to beat Signature Scent from what we've seen so far. So, that Gin Spirit is sort of well exposed. It's probably got its claims as well, but if Signature Scent repeats what it does or what it did last time, I think it's going to be pretty hard to see how a horse can beat it, really. And you go Linda to Willow, barrier one this time, where it had to work from a wide gate last time. Yeah, I think it's probably a deserving favourite, and I know I'm not giving you much because this horse will probably start odds on, but yeah, there's not really too many bets on the day that I probably want to have, and this is probably one of them.
Winner's a winner, mate. Winner's a winner.
Exactly right.
It's a winner's a winner if it wins, yeah. Put it that way.
Yeah.
I'm happy to take the $2.20 currently on offer with Bet365, and I will be taking it in a little multi, a double, with a horse running at Geelong on Friday. Spoiler alert, we won't get to that one just yet, but we'll get to Geelong after Caulfield. I think that's the way to play it. We found a really good horse on Friday at Geelong, and you take the multi into this, comes out to be about $3.80. This horse drew wide on debut, went straight to the front, showed good gate speed, led at a below average tempo, but came home really fast. Second fastest last 600 meters of the entire meeting. Obviously really good, you know, compared to maiden class. And as Nico touched on, this debutant is going to want to be pretty good to be beating it. I think Craig Williams is a jockey we really want to be finding on Saturday and the next couple of weeks, because he's only 7 wins behind Blake Shin in the Victorian Metro Jockey Premiership. And he's on a lot of horses that are well in the market. He's going to be hungry, and he's coming up against, let's be honest, a lot of 3-kilo apprentices, and he's just going to want to bully them. So from barrier one, he should go straight to the front, and I think she'll be very hard to beat, Signature Scent. Alrighty, one sec. We go to race 2 at Caulfield. We stick to 1,100 metres. This time it's an open 3-year-old race. Shadowvar is $3.40 favourite from Salsa Fellow. What a win this was. 2 starts back, obviously beating Soft Love on the wire, $7. Run Like an Encryption is $7.50. Scampi, $8. And Charcoal is $10. Will, I believe this is one of your better bets of the day.
Yeah, I'm quite keen on Shadowvar. Price has probably been trimmed up a little bit now. I think the best price now is $3.70. I think that's still probably backable. I think it is backable. I think she went through her gate grades last preparation. She started off in a maiden and went all the way through to being beaten a half to Arabian Summer and to be a not to beat with a gap to fourth. I reckon she'll improve with the time away from racing and Tom Dabbening's a trainer to find. So Shadowvar is a pretty keen bet for me in race number 2. She's trialed well as well. So yeah, like that's group class form with To Be or Not To Be in Arabian Summer. And these are just sort of, I think it's fair to say these are winter fillies. Winter 3-year-olds. And she's, she's got genuine group class form. I could see her starting a lot shorter than the price is now.
Sweet. What price did you take?
$5.
Oof. I had
a couple others, but
I think I had $4.60 or $4.50 sitting there in my bet slip. Wanted to not take the price and try and get all the subs on, and sent it out, went to bet, boom, straight into 4. So had to cop 4s. I'm still happy with that. As Will said, this horse just brings better form. And, you know, that big piece of form that really sticks out is behind To Be or Not To Be and the like. It's jumped out like an absolute rocket. Trolled.
Looks like it's improved. Correct. It's got the best piece of form and looks like it's improved.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Draws well, barrier 4. And this is Johnny Allen's only ride for the day. So
I know. It's a system bet, Nico.
Usually Johnny will be getting on a few more rides than this, but yeah, gets him well with 56 kilos. Just so many ticks here. And map swell. So yeah, I'm keen as well. Alrighty, Wilbur. Where are you betting next? Race 3, of course you are. 1,400 meter 3-year-old event for the fillies. Jarpo is $3.30 favorite, a tough winner last time. From Supercilious, $4. Illy Ivy is $5. Mercurial Lady, $5.50. And Two Done Discreet, $6. Mercurial Lady ruined our podcast multi 2 weeks ago, Bot. Thank you for that.
Anytime. No, I'm on Supercilious. She was outpaced in the finish of 2 slow run races over 5.5 furlongs, first and second up.
And then, just say 1,100, you fucking dork.
Shut up. Had a quiet trial between runs with the intent to peak third up. leading over 1400 meters. And she gets that here. The stable's in form as well. It gets Craig Williams. I think she maybe leads, maybe sits in the box seat. Either way, I'm not worried. I think she should be favorite over Zarpo. I think that's fair to say. I don't think we've seen the best of her. And I think she is perfectly set up to run to her peak.
Yeah, I agree. We took $5.50 today. We apologize because we might have set it off. But I think this horse, I think it probably should be favorite as well. The reason it's probably not favorite is because it's won one race from 11 starts, and Zarpo has a few more wins on the board, going at a 50% career strike rate for wins. But Supercilious was awesome first up. Obviously ran third behind Salsa Fellow and Soft Love. The rating was really good there. Then last time stayed at 1,100 meters down the straight and jumped away awkwardly from the barriers. Was always playing catch up. That was the race where She's an Artist obviously bolted in. I just think race shape after missing that start was just against her, and she's going to be much better suited to a tempo up to 1,400 meters. We
she's
get
not
Craig
a sprinter
Williams.
Either.
Nah. And it, I'm surprised. She did she accept? I'm pretty sure she accepted for the Creswick. And then they scratched her. So she actually was going to stay at 1,200 meters, but obviously they've decided to come here. I think it's the right move. From
Had
barrier
a trial
one.
Between.
Yeah. And that was a really good trial as well. From barrier one, she'll kick up. I think she'll be very handy. If not lead, then she'll be leaders back. And you just go through her form. Like, what, she's run third to Cotoggio and Bizzusto at Flemington. That's her standout piece of form. She's ran third in a listed race behind Certain Rise at the Valley, second behind Silmarillion. Like, I just think she's the class runner. And although she doesn't have, you know, many wins on the board to show for it, I just think the setup for her is perfect. And the big thing here is she's the different form compared to last start, where Zarpo, Ill Ivy, Mercurial Lady, they're all, what, half a length between each other. So I do think the market's going to latch onto Supercilious and really find her. So pretty keen there also. Go to race four. It's the Vobis Gold Heath, 2,000 meters. Jimmy the Bear is a $1.65 favorite. He's a 107 rater. So, you know, you see that he's got 60 kilos here with pounding at the top line of the weights, but he's actually in really well at the weights, giving horses that are so far below him only 3 kilos. So he's in really well at the weights. Don't worry about that. Pounding is $4.20. Chihuly, $13. Boga Legend, $13. And Make It Sweet, $15. Nico, I'll get you involved here because you're probably only going to have two bets on the day. So tell us about Jimmy and why he's a good thing here.
Well, yeah, obviously I wanted to oppose him last week, and full credit to him. He carried all the weight and was too good for us. But, yeah, he's a weighted certainty in a race of this ilk, really. And I think if you really wanted to get aggressive, you could probably mark him a fair bit shorter. I think he's probably going to start around $1.50. And I think that's probably still maybe a touch of overs. Pounding second favourite, that's all
he was good last week.
Yeah, well,
I think he's probably ready to peak.
He's always good when he runs in behind his mate pounding. Well, Jimmy, he'll just turn up and win here as long as he handles the backup. And Patrick Payne's a very astute horseman, and he doesn't often get it wrong with these types of things. So, I think he probably should be shorter. And, I might take the double, I think. I might take Signature Senator to Jimmy, and that'll be me for the day. I think two horses, it'll be extremely hard to beat and probably better than their rivals. So, yeah, that's probably made it short and sweet.
Sounds good. I've had pretty much my max bet on Jimmy the Bear at $1.80. Look, I've copped a bit of flack on Twitter for taking odds on about Jimmy the Bear, and I understand it to a point because it's Jimmy the Bear.
What?
But,
who's saying that?
Well, just the people have got a stigma against taking horses that aren't superstars at a short quote, but for me it's all about the opposition.
And you're running 68 horses.
Yeah, he conservatively, if they all run to their median level, he'll probably beat Pounding by a length and a half, a length, and all the others, just on ratings and what they've done so far, they are so far off the top two at under this weight scale, it's not funny. So
Jimmy the Bear opened, sorry, go then.
Jimmy the Bear is a bet for me. Barrier 3 is good. On the backup, he's fine. People will note that he's 0 from 1, 2,000 meters, but that was 2,040 meters at the Valley one day in a benchmark 100, a very strong one. I think Young Werther was in that race. Gold Trip was in that race. Future History was in that race. So it was a very strong race, and he was only beaten just over a length. So Jimmy the Bear on the backup, he's the winter specialist. He's just had 5 starts this preparation, won 3, ran 2nd in 2. He's absolutely flying. And from Barrier 3, he gets a better run for me than Pounding, who Craig Williams is going to have to make a decision. It either presses on, which he probably should do.
He'll lead, 100% he'll lead.
But there's a chance he has to do a little bit of work from Barrier 10 of 10 early.
I don't reckon.
Go on, but
he'll just roll across. I haven't really done the race because I missed even money for Jimmy the Bear. If I sort of saw on that, I would have just unloaded at it. But yeah, like I probably have not as much between the top two.
Yeah, fair enough.
But like, I mean, like, if you're copying shit for telling people to back, like, what would you say, like $1.80 Jimmy the Bear?
Yeah.
Like, what are people telling you to back? Like, I mean, it doesn't really, who cares? They're just people on Twitter. But like, there'd be people there sticking up for Chihuly. Like, he started 40 to 1 in a 78 last start. Like,
yeah, it's just miles apart.
Who really cares? Because it's your betting and they can do whatever they want. You can do whatever you want. Like, if we didn't have opinions, we'd all be betting. But like, it's Chihuly. It's not 40 to 1 and against
Boga Legend. Boga Legend won a 0 to 64, 2 starts back. A 0 to 64.
I mean, yeah. Jimmy the Bear is just a winter champion, but 2,000 meters is a little iffy. Won't go that.
How often does a class horse just run out the distance when you think they, you know, yeah, when you think it's a distance query, they come up against an average field and they just put panels on them?
No, I mean, if you took $1.80, $1.90 for Jimmy the Bear to beat these, there's nothing wrong with that. But yeah, Pounding's a little interesting to me.
Pounding's the only danger for me. I'll probably end up having the Exacta. The Exacta will pay $7 maybe, and I can just chop out a little bit of my stake. But yeah, seriously, like when you're a horse who hasn't raced yet, so people probably won't know this, you get a rating of 61 for not having raced. That's just your starting rating. A lot of these horses are struggling to even get past that rating, having raced 2-3 preparations. Like the gulf between the top two here and the bottom or the middle ground, it's a lot. So I'd be shocked if one or two didn't win.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. We skip race 5. We skip race 6. We go to race 7. Nice race, actually. 1,400 meter benchmark 100. The open equal favorite $4.20 with Zoo Sensation. Yellow Sam $5.50. El Soliado $6.50. Run Harry Run $9. Lim Saltoro $10. And Reinberg $11. But I just want to get your quick thoughts on the open. He's a horse who's consistent, but he doesn't really have this high peak or high ceiling. Can he get the job done here?
Well, you can't really get rid of him at all because of his SPs. And if you respect what the market thinks, then you can't get rid of him. But when you look at the ratings he's run this prep, it's hard to get him favorite. But, you know, it's respectable connections, and I'd say probably the best jockey. Oh, Blake Shin's riding Craig Williams. You know, he's a top class rider, and you know, I think he has to be in the market. But I don't think, I think it's a quite a flat. I think it's a flatter market than what it is right now, and I think, you know, percentage sort of figures itself out, and the betting starts on Saturday, sort of half an hour to go. I think the Zoo Sensation and the open will soften, and it'll probably jump like $5 the field, I think. I couldn't back the open. I think it's a $6 chance. I think Zoo Sensation's about a $5.50 chance. The one I want to have, or there's a couple I probably want to have something on. Lim Saltoro set a really, really strong pace there at Caulfield. No, it wasn't a day that was necessarily advantageous to be on speed. And he was 28 days between runs and just went breakneck and fought on really well. I thought he carries a 60, but I'm at a 10-01. That's fair, I think. Also, Ryan Berg was in that race, and I think you can see it in the sectionals. I think he'll improve and get to his best level, which has him better than a $11 chance. So those two are appealing to me.
Great. Let's move on to race 8 then, which is the day's feature. It's a Sir John Monash 1100 meter group 3. Quiz, fellas. Who was Sir John Monash?
Probably like a chairman at Caulfield or something. I don't know.
No idea.
Oh, like Monash University? Is he that Monash?
That's who he was. Here we go. John Monash, Australian civil engineer. He was an Australian civil engineer and military commander of the First World War.
Was he the one that that got like Anzac Day and stuff? Like because that sort of died down, but then like I think John Monash was the one that sort of reinvigorated the Anzac sort of celebration.
You could be right.
I'm pretty sure that was him.
Anyway, he died in 1931. So
I don't know, but you're the most nerd out of the three of us here, so that's the sort of shit that you would know.
1865 to 1931, died at 66. It's a long time ago. Surely we can start to refresh some of these race names.
he's a prominent person in Australian history, I guess.
Fair enough.
I don't know. He's got a university named after him.
Yeah, he doesn't need a race as well. In Flight is the $2.90 favourite. Joe Pride sends this horse down. It's his only horse he's sending down to Caulfield. And she looks the goods here. From Cleo Cat, $5. Kalos is $5.50. Recommendation. Hasn't really hit back in the same form he was in last year. He's $9 from New York Luster, $9.50. And Kin is $10. But I think we're singing from the same hymn book here.
Yeah, In Flight's an improving four-year-old mare. And I'm pretty sure she'll have the back of Cleo Cat in the sort of three wide running line, and she'll be able to swoop into the best lanes by that time of the day, I'm thinking. She's one of those 4 year old mares that like have just gone to a new level. There's always been sort of hints that she's been this good. But she's just sort of, you know, she's realized her potential, I guess. And she's had a nice little trial between runs. Joe Pride brings her down. And Willow jumps on board, so it's pretty comfortable. You might get better. I think she's a. There's a couple of these I think that are fairly opposable. Obviously, recommendations not in the best of form, but I thought he was okay last time with a decent SP. Sort of, he almost fell at the start and got like loose somewhere more like ran into him and. You know, he was never really in it with a 16.5. So I think I was forgettable and he was lame first up. So he's a horse that I could see improving and maybe he's one you can chop on. Kin, I think, will go back. I think she might be back based on her big track and trip peak and she's going well, but I just can't have her. Kalos
she's
has had... Yeah, she is one of mine, but not here. Kalos... I think it'll be well noted that he goes best fresh, but he hasn't done a lot of racing. He only had one run last preparation, and you know, I think he's relatively opposable. And Cleo Cat resumed with a peak, and like she got back to it third up, but I think it might have like she's done her bit this preparation, and New York Cluster is just a weird horse to assess, but I think it's pretty easily opposable. So I think you can push. In Flight's price down to about $2.60, and that's pretty comfortable for me. I love the way the race sets up for it, and nice bet.
Beautiful. I'm on as well. I've taken $3. This listed Group 3 sort of sprinting form in Sydney is actually pretty strong, I thought. She ran a rating of 98.8 last time, which is pretty good going for a race like this. She beat Brudenell by a very short margin. We know Brudenell showed that the Sydney sprinting form is pretty good earlier this year. He came and won the Able Stakes at Moonee Valley. He bolted in. He carried the 59 kilos there. He's a good horse in his own right. But in flight, she's just a winner. She's come back super. She loves getting her toe in the track. Soft track stats slash heavy. She's had 6 starts on the soft for 3 wins and 6 starts on a heavy for 4 wins and a placing. So she's never won on a good, and she's going to get at least a 6-7 here. Barrier 8 is probably perfect from that shoot start, 1,100 metres at Caulfield. Craig just keeps her out of trouble. And I think she's going to be extremely hard to hold out. Caulfield first time is always, you know, just a factor that they have to tick, these Sydney horses. Sometimes they can get on the wrong leg, but yeah, I just think she's fifth up as well, but I don't know. She just strikes a race where there's a few horses that are out of form. Cleo Cat is a nice mare. Has she reached her ceiling? I just don't know if she's going to be any better than what she's done so far. And In Flight just might be a little bit too slick for these. So $3, I'm happy to be on. And if we get a downpour of rain tomorrow, then I'm even keener. Any other comments?
Yeah, well, I probably agree with you. In Flight's probably the other bet on the card that I could have. I think Cleo Cat deserves to be second favourite. I think Geordie back on's going to be a massive plus. I did allude to the fact that she was well short last time, and yeah, you could really take her on Willow first time. Not that Willow's a bad jockey, but she's a very quirky mare. Geordie reunites with her on Saturday from a good gate. I suspect she will come on from that slightly disappointing performance, I guess you could say. Marble Nine's franked the form again, so the form's all well and good around her. But yeah, In Flight, hard to beat. Cleo Cat, the danger. Interesting to see how New York Luster comes back this preparation, because I think, you know, she could just be as good at this sort of level. I don't think she's a $10 chance in a Group 3 sort of horse, so I think she's a little bit better than that. So yeah, interested to see how she comes back. But yeah, In Flight on top, Cleo Cat, the danger.
Great. And the last race, race 9. In winter, we have 9 races, but once the spring rolls around, it'll be back to 10. Benchmark 84 over 1,700 metres. Aztec State draws Barrier 19, $3.50 favourite from Sir Atlas, $5. The Outer Compton was a strong winner in the midweeks at Sandown last time, a $7.50 from Until Valhalla at $8. British Columbia, well, we haven't seen his name in the winner's enclosure for a little while, is $9. Bright Stripes is $9.50 and Regal Vow $12. Phew, what have you found in this dartboard job here, Bot?
Well, Aztec State was 8 lengths quicker than anything from the 1,200 to the post, bar one last time at Sandown off, it was about a year, I think. It was just less than a year. I think he's a group horse racing in a handicap. And if they can run on and he can get himself, he can attach himself to the running line, I think you might monster them. But I want a better price because the map's disgusting. I want $4.50 on the day. And I want them to be able to run on. I think he's a group horse.
This reeks of just flat run the second up, back me third up.
Oh, it could be, but I'm happy to take
60
that.
60 kilos.
Isn't this the horse negative that Jules Valance had a big opinion of as well? I'm pretty sure he did.
I don't know. No, this is the horse that he was sort of that sort of 3-year-old 2,000 meter. He won a race at Flemington. He ran a race at Caulfield, I think. I backed him a couple of times. He's obviously when he won.
got beat by Chihuly.
Oh my god, Chihuly. No, this horse is actually related to Tom Albin as well. So that's something. No, I think he might be a group horse. Yeah, no, he might be a group horse based on the first start run, and he trialed really well between runs too. Like if he can just attach himself to, you know, they might mid race slow down and he can just sort of slide into it. And I reckon if he gets a nice run at them, he'll monster them. But I want a better price just because of that. Like $4.50. If you get $4.50 in the day, you press Aztec State.
All right. Is there? There's a couple. There'll be a couple of emergencies to come out of this race, wouldn't there? What's the max field here?
Yeah. It's 16. I think.
So there's a field of 20. So 4 will come out.
Yeah. It'll be a good bet third up.
Yeah. All right.
Group race.
But we've got racing at Geelong on Friday.
Geelong.
Liv will be out there doing her best work, so you've got to make sure you tip some winners here because she'll be interviewing them, hopefully. Give us your set.
What is it? So race three, there is, what's its name? Gavin Bedgood first. His name is Vanishing Act. He was very good on debut. Eye-catching run, sort of got hampered at the start of the race. This was in Queensland, by the way. This was trained by Tony Golan. They've transferred it down to Gavin Bedgood. They've put Craig Williams on first up. It's trialed really well leading into it. And I have no opinion of this favorite, equal favorite now. It's been backed. Leaving Las Vegas. It's trialed well too, but like, I think Vanishing Act is clearly the bet in that race. Then we go to race five. This is the one you were talking about before, Ben, that you're doing a multi yep. in. I backed it when the market opened and a couple times. This is, I think, a group horse and a maiden. it was snagged to last after it showed enough speed to lead, but they just took it back to last and was sectionally outstanding, and I think it'll improve with the run. It's actually a half-sister to a horse called Prosperous Voyage, who, when it wins tomorrow, Liv will probably ask the trainer and about it.
She mentioned this to me.
Yeah, it's a half-sister to Prosperous Voyage, who was second to Cachet in the English Guineas and beat beat Inspiral in the Falmouth Stakes.
Right. So is this discussed in your group chat, or is this just common knowledge that both you and Liv know? Because she mentioned it to me and she was...
No, it's common knowledge, mate. You should know this.
I should
know
this.
How do you not know this? You should.
Well, Liv's going to be flat that you're the first one to mention this, because I think she's... This is a fact of the day tomorrow. Yeah, you've beaten her to it, and she's not going to be happy about it.
Well, no one listens to this shit anyway, so it'll be fine.
Please.
We
get 50 listeners a week.
Sorry?
Just no one listens to your tripe, champ.
That's fair enough, too. But Marine Empress will win tomorrow. Graham Begg, Jordan Child, I think it'll go straight to the front. And it might win by 10 lengths.
I'll just add a couple of things. Obviously, it drew wide on debut, so they snagged a long way back. Came home in very fast sectionals, I think 6 lengths faster than the class average, the final 600 metres. Obviously going to sit a lot further forward from barrier 4. This is a horse that... What weight is it carrying tomorrow? I don't think it's about the weight, but I think Geordie wanted to get back to ride this horse.
57 and a half.
Yeah. So Geordie Childs is obviously on holiday. This is one of the horses that Graham Begg wanted him to get back to ride. Obviously, Graham was his master. He was apprenticed to Graham for a very long time. And I reckon this will just win by a long way as well. Stepping up in trip from 1,500 to 1,700. And just comes up against a very, very ordinary field. So, yeah, keen as, and this is my multi-horse to take into race one at Caulfield, which is our signature scent. Keep going.
Yeah. I thought Burn Bobby Burn was the only horse that could beat it. And if you want to do like a Quinella Saver or an Exacta or whatever, you know, it's the one. But, yeah, we'll go to race number six now. To Rosso, it's a Lloyd Williams horse from Ireland originally. I ran the quickest split at any point in the race last start, first up in Australia, and you know, just sort of petered out. Tom Preble touched on at the Cranbourne train station around the corner. It was that wide, and you don't want to do that at Cranbourne. It was a front runner in Ireland, and it draws to at least be more positive, but I think they'll probably lead. I think they'll show intent. There's a bit of money early, and that kind of stinks. I think it might go off. And this is a low, low, low field. So, you know, it's got decent form over in Ireland. It's shaped up well enough on debut behind Jan Brugel, who would have won the Melbourne Cup. Nico's just unmuted himself.
Can you fuck off? Why are you trying to wind me up? I'm trying to wind down after just another Melbourne day in winter, and trying to rile me up saying that's right. Fuck up. Don't even start.
It's too easy. It's too easy.
Yeah, because you was just the biggest certainty ever until one of your colleagues decided to fuck it all.
My colleagues? I've got nothing to do with it.
You're racing, Vic.
Oh, he beat Colandigan. Just knife in the heart. Twist it.
Yeah, no, I think it's a nice jockey upgrade too. So I like that. And then the last one, I haven't backed it yet. I'm hoping for a little bit better. Zakuma, the same trainer and jockey combination as earlier, Jordan Childs, Graham Begg. This horse was heavily backed. Last start, pulled up lame. It was amazing first up off a 400-day spell. It transferred from, I can't remember the name of the, P. Carey and H. Walker stable to Graham Begg. That's a full credit to whoever they are, but no, I know who they are, but no, full credit to them. But Graham Begg's one of the best, probably the best at stable in Victoria at the moment. I think that's fair to say. He's incredible with what he does with horses, and it's a big trainer upgrade. And I think this might be. He ran a really good rating one day in the Galilee final, and you had to be good to be in the vicinity of that race because it was run at a brutal tempo, and yeah, I think it might handle those, but I want a bit better.
All right, sweet. Not much at Randwick. One horse who really interested me, a horse called Premise in race 2, number 14. It's drawn barrier 15, so it's a bit icky, but if this mare produces anything like her, some of the form, but go and look at this race 2 at Randwick. Look at some of the ratings that Premise has run. She's a bit of an enigma because she doesn't always bring her best, but if she does, she will blow these away. It's just the map's going to be against. She's going to be a long way back, but she goes to a highway.
You're betting in a highway, mate.
I'm probably not. I didn't say I was going to have a bet. I said nothing really interested me, but this horse, if it does run some of its ratings it has in the past, and it looks a good one, but nah. There's a couple horses of interest at Bunbury. There's probably only one real bet. That bet is in the last. We're going Pikey in the last. Number 15, Supernatural, 1,400 metres, gets to for the first time. Came home very good sectionals last start. Its last couple ratings have been really good. Draws middle of the line for Pikey. I think it's looking for 1,400 metres all over. And the main danger is Regal Statue, who draws barrier 16 of 16, a yuck map. The other Bob Peters horse draws barrier 15 of 16. So they're going to be a long way back in the field. And I think Pike gets first run on them and $2.50, the top price. I think that's backable. In the Belmont Oaks, Fancy Red is odds on for Adam Durant and William Pike, $1.80. Really weird preparation. Going 1,600, 1,400, 1,400, and now comes up to 2,000. Probably the best horse in the race, but like could absolutely space these because it just might be that much better than them. But I'm probably just happy to leave that alone and back the one in the last.
There's one horse, if it's going to be wet over there, I've just jumped on and saw this horse's name, and I know that it's in my book. So, race 7, number 12, No-Brainer.
No-Brainer.
It likes the wet tracks. So if it is wet over there, then it's a soft six at the moment. I dare say it's not going to dry out a hell of a lot, but...
No, there's rain on Saturday as well. So
yeah, well, there you go. There's a bet. I can add one to the sheet. I might do this race properly now.
What's this? Which horse?
Race 7, number 12.
Race 7, number 12.
Let me have a look.
I don't know what its ratings are like, but I just know that I've backed it a couple of times over there.
Its ratings are solid.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Low draw, Chris Parnham, 54.5.
It's off 300 days.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Fuck.
Doesn't matter. Heavy doesn't track.
Matter. Heavy gets, track first get, up gets of the through year. The, yeah, it's get, fine.
Gets through the wet. Yeah, but hopefully this horse does its dad proud.
He'd want to.
I was flat when I saw Opportunistic wasn't in the...
Yeah, what happened? It was meant to run.
In the Aquanita, I think they're just going to the paddock early. Which is fair enough.
Is that on Saturday?
Yeah, the Aquanita is race four.
Is Arcadia Park a half to Arcadia Dream? Arcadia Queen?
Arcadia Queen.
Oh, it's in that bloodline somewhere.
Sure. Elite Missile is the favourite in that race, which is race four.
I don't know if we'll get 2,000 metres.
I don't know. Well, did you just fucking eat your mic or something?
Me?
Yeah, you just got a lot louder.
No.
It's still loud.
It's whoa.
What is going on?
My mic's like 2 foot away from me.
Maybe just move back, because whatever happened then, you just went from like volume 7 to
moved,
volume 11.
I've moved back a little bit.
Oh, that's better.
I've
sit up a little bit. Yeah, Elite Missile's on 2,000 meter horse.
Yeah, I agree. I would be inclined to take it on. It might be the best horse in the race, but he did peak on his run last time at a mile. And 2,000 meters, I don't know if he ran it out strongly. But then again, it's not a great race. Yeah. Fuck, what a bet thing would have been.
Yeah, he would have been odds on, but he would have been $1.12.
I reckon he would have been $1.70, $1.80.
Should have just taken him and a Jimmy the Bear.
Whoa.
Just stop talking.
I literally haven't moved.
Just stop talking. Just stop talking.
I'm going on mute. Fuck yous.
Well, you're going to have to speak again in a sec, but we'll go podcast multi. But we need a back, we need a lay, and we need a pray. Give us something. Don't make it something stupid.
I'll make the best bet Shad Devar. Is that okay?
That's okay.
That's tolerable. Limbs Sal Toro. I think it's Limbs Sal Toro.
Yeah.
The one in race 7. I don't really dislike the price of anything too much that I want to lean in. So.
All right. So your tip is the best bet anyway, race 2 Caulfield. It's about $3.70 top price. Nico?
It's fine.
Don't yell at us, but what do you got for us?
Whisper.
I don't have a lot for you. My bet that I'm going to have Saturday is probably just the double up, race 1 into race 4. Signature Scent into Jimmy the Bear.
Yep.
Yeah, best value is probably that horse that we just mentioned at Bunbury. It probably should be favourite. $6 is fair each way all day.
Form on the fly, love it.
Yeah, don't really have a lay. Just lay whatever bot's backing because it's usually got no rope.
All right. I'll go best bet Jimmy the Bear. So it'll be race 1, race 2, race 4. We're a chance of winning that for once. I'll just play it safe and go Jimmy. My best each way... I don't really have too many each ways, but Supercilious. Actually, there's a horse that I haven't mentioned yet going around in the July Cup internationally, and I think he'll probably be $4-5. He's not really a 1,200 meter horse. He's more of a miler, but the sprinting form over in the UK is garbage right now. So his name is Notable Speech for the Godolphin Yard. I reckon he might just be a little bit too good. If you get $5 in the day, then he's probably the best each way. And my lay of the day, it's a hard day for a lay. Maybe the open. Not really. I'll go the open just because he doesn't really have this big rating that says that he should be favourite, as Bot said. He's consistent, but he's consistently just around that same level. And I reckon there might be one that will be too good for him again. All right, we'll get into a couple of questions before we wrap it up. Not going too badly for time. Go to the Twitter sphere first, where Nico has dominated the airwaves over the last couple of weeks. Nathan?
Just another day in the life.
Not a question, just haven't said Carlton stinks enough today. Yes, we do. We've lost another race. The Viking, Jimmy the Bear winning a Group 1 in the spring? Question mark.
Well, he won't win a Group 1.
No, I don't think he'll win a Group 1. But
doesn't need to when he's a prize money.
Stranger things have happened. Boom punting. Ben, with Carlton having another 6-goal loss and pressure coming from all angles, will Vossi survive this season?
That's a good call, actually. This was 10 hours ago.
And we've lost by 6 goals and 1 point.
Yeah, that's a great call.
That's a fantastic call. It's a great should have done call. A margin bet. Brisbane to win by 35 to 40 points. That would have paid a bit.
Maybe you should be on the podcast.
No.
He's a poor get rid of me. Supporter. Give me, oh, gross.
Sacred Falls, interesting name for Twitter. Is there any worry about Kai Ying copping a heavy track in the Everest? Price just seems short to me, if heavy on the day. Nico, do you want to say what Hugh Bowman said on radio? Was that today?
Yeah, it was today when they spoke to him. Hughie said the confirmation of Kai Ying rising, he thinks there's every chance that he might actually excel on a wet track, go even better. So that's a scary thought. For context, he's raced on a wet track once in Hong Kong, but never registered as a soft or yielding track. It was pissing down that day. He had 61. One in cruise control. Yep. Anyway, we forgot to mention off the top, milestone tonight, 100 days until Kai Ying just up the rise.
Oh, yeah.
He'll just absolutely obliterate him. Rising up the rise.
Billy Keane, what's your...
Yeah.
Are we moving on?
Yep.
100 days until Caulfield Cup and Everest Day.
Who gives a fuck about the Caulfield Cup?
Billy Keane, what's your opinion on the Ombudsman ride? We were actually all watching this together, Nico and I and Jack. Looked like a pretty strange ride from start to finish, and Gosden had Hewick explaining his decisions post-race. I thought Buick had an opportunity to get that 1-1 sort of spot, and he just stayed out wide. Look, the winner was still very good late, but I don't think it was one of Buick's best by any means. Any other thoughts?
Well, I'm not completely familiar with the tracks in over there, but is it not just a straight line and then they turn around and then they go in a straight line? Like, is it like, are they not going in a straight line for the majority of the race? They do a U-turn.
There's two turns.
There's I think there's one turn from the 2,000 meters. So the whole
they're just questionable commodities in Europe. They mix their form. Things happen. Things are under no riding. Look like they're going to piss in. The horse behind them is getting the kitchen sink thrown at them. They somehow beat the horse that was not being felt for. It's the sketchy business.
Yeah. Well, the Ombudsman was best in a strongly run Prince of Wales's, and then they walked and was out sprinted by a horse probably a miler. So like the ride was it wasn't great. It wasn't good, but it wasn't the worst thing in the world. John Gosden, like he gives me the shits, that guy. Like he went off after the race and said, "Well, I knew exactly what was going to happen. I told you pre-race." Well, put a pacemaker in it, mate. Like, you're allowed to do that over there. That's why Aidan O'Brien dominates everything, because he gets the races run how he wants them. If you're going to win,
Delacroix. Delacroix. Anyway, the Judd Mon International is going to be an absolute ripper.
Yeah.
He's probably a miler. Like he's...
Anyway. He might have got beaten by Aidan on in that race, but he won't in the Judd Mon.
You reckon he'll hit back? Ombudsman in the Judd Mon?
Isn't he in a race Field of
isn't
Gold?
Isn't Field of Gold going there? Gosden trains it.
Oh, no.
That's what I was alluding to.
Oh, I thought you were alluding to Ombudsman, who's also trained by Gosden. Field of Gold is going...
He's going
to the Sussex at 1,600 metres.
Yeah.
It's still up in the air whether he goes to the Judd Mon as well. I've heard a lot of things from just sort of scoping UK Twitter that they might put him on ice after the Sussex.
Because he does go to the Judd Mon.
I think he might not even go to the Sussex because Colin Keane's been...
No, he's still going. Yeah, he has been wiped. Okay.
So who's going to ride?
Probably Buick.
What's happened to Colin Keane? Because I don't think
something. He got suspended. Was it whip rule?
Overusing whip, yeah.
How long has he been suspended for?
A couple weeks. But yeah, he's lost the ride on Field of Gold, which is, he'd be shattered.
Every chance not to get back on it, yeah.
Buick will ride for Godolphin. He's a stable rider. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on. Chris DeCastor, which team in blue is a bigger disappointment, New South Wales or Carlton?
I didn't even know that Origin was on last night. Did anyone watch that stuff?
Well, I'm going to say New South Wales is the bigger disappointment in blue this week than Carlton.
100%.
Carlton's just a dirty.
New South Wales every Origin year. They've got the best side ever. They're so much better.
And they turn it up.
But, rah, rah, rah. Queensland are always the underdogs. And they've won 18 out of the last 19 of the last 24 game three deciders.
They've won like 80%. 80% of the game threes.
Proof is in the pudding. New South Wales are always favourites.
They're non-winners, are they?
They're non-winners.
You can't measure heart, and the Maroons just have a bit more heart bumping out of the chest when they put the jersey on.
The Ryan Blues Patton. Are just disgraceful, though.
In the blue corner, we have Nico, the face of racing Twitter. In the red corner, the self-proclaimed goat of TikTok, goat punter of TikTok, the winning factor. Who is the more divisive punter in all of the land? Who would Ben trust more to find him a winner if his life depended on it?
Well, it's clearly easy. I don't watch the podcast with him, and I started the podcast with him. This fucking TikTok hero is...
Who is he? I've never heard of him.
Oh, it's exactly my point. He's irrelevant. No one fucking knows who he is. Mate,
What's the guy?
I don't know. He does tips on TikTok. I don't go on TikTok to watch bloody horse racing tips. I go on TikTok to watch food reviews and watch babies faceplant. Yeah. Pretty much.
Keep dominating. That's what's the keep thing dominating TikTok. Champ.
Matt, would Field of Gold versus Nepotism be competitive?
It was good reply game from you. I saw your response.
If this is a genuine question, and I'm not sure if it is, it's had 7,000 views after I reshared it with Wayne Hawks' lovely melon. Conservatively, Field of Gold have 10 lengths on Nepotism. Conservatively. 10? Not conservatively, it might be 15, 20.
I'd say 20.
Crazy. It's all Nepotism is also a 2-year-old and he's a 3-year-old, so it's not a fair comparison, but still. Tim McMahon, keep up the Western stuff. Thanks, mate. Oh,
West is best.
My WA stuff is going good compared to my Melbourne stuff, so maybe I'll just focus it. And Haywood. First name Haywood, last name Jablomi.
This is the fucking Mars bar dickhead.
Hey, young fellas, not much of a question, but more of a statement. Nico looks... Hey, young fellas, just trying to put us in our place. Nico looks like the type of bloke to eat a Mars bar upside down to feel the veins on his tongue. Happy punting, and Shadavar just wins. This might be bot.
That is an outstanding question. It's not me.
You can shove your Mars bar in your throat and hopefully you choke on it, you stupid.
That is outstanding.
It was probably one of bot's burner accounts. Just another little fanboy obsessed with me on Twitter. Who would have thought?
There is a couple of Instagram questions. I love this one from my man Kem Junes. What's his actual name?
This will be interesting.
Anyway, I can't find it. It's but he's a good man. He subscribed to the 6 Day and we have regular chats about taking overs. And his question is, what are the lads' coffee orders?
Well, Ben, you should know mine.
You get a matcha, Nico?
You wouldn't feed that to the fucking pigs. It's horrific.
You're a big coffee. You'd be like a large. What are you? What are you?
I'm a large skinny latte. Extra
large
shot.
Skinny latte. Hot strong, or cold. Yeah.
Whatever.
I'm a skinny latte man as well. Size dependent on how hungover I am.
Bots a sits a pissman punters. So he's
no,
like a, he's a
I get a magic
soy latte.
No, I get a magic and sometimes get an extra shot depending
what is
on
a magic?
I am.
What is that?
Double ristretto. Like it's a strong coffee.
It's just double ristretto.
Hold on, let me
wipe yourself when you have a wee sort of coffee.
This is where you're getting.
Magic coffee is made when steamed milk is added to a double ristretto. It's better if the ristretto was made up with...
So it's like a macchiato?
Yeah, essentially.
But bigger, maybe.
Sort of.
Where are you from again? You're from...
Disneyland is where he's from.
Where do the Bullants play? Preston.
Preston.
Preston. Just weird areas.
Yeah.
The northern suburbs. Northern suburbs.
Deethy says, Will, now that Allegron has retired, will Miss Tarzi be your new favourite horse?
Oh, mate. Can we just talk about this for a second? I was having a shit day last week.
You didn't tip it on the podcast, did you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
you did? Did you mention it?
I did. I don't think I don't know.
He probably...
I can't remember. Probably, honestly can't remember. But anyway, I bought back the 60-1 winner, so...
Oh, sorry. Credit. No. 80, what price did you get?
$82 BSP, yeah. Or just yeah. SP on
Betfair. BSP.
You took Betfair a BSP?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Did you calculate?
It was a good result.
Calculate the percentage, how much better than it was in the corporate, so you can do some free advertising.
No, mate. Oh.
Was it a $10 bet, $20 bet, $30 bet?
I won on the day and had it completely stripped out before that, so it was a good result.
Well, you don't have to have much on at 80s to get a good result.
It was a good result.
Damon Winley, boys, could you make a case for Woden in the Golden Rose? Thought it was a solid run in the size.
Well, let's wait till they get to the trials before we start making any things. But I don't think he was just a two-year-old. I think he'd be better at three.
I still think Nepotism and Autumn Boy are 1-2 in my Golden Rose calculations at the moment. And
I don't know if Autumn Boy will be ready for a Golden Rose.
Maybe not. But surely Waller's got to have him up and going for a Caulfield
Guineas.
He's
just a spring champion horse. Caulfield Guineas spring champion. He's not a Golden Rose.
Spring champions become a race for the B graders. The good ones.
It's still a group one.
Yeah, it's still a group one. Coops, a couple more. Bot, of the current hay stable, which horse do you think should go to Hong Kong?
What? What? Is that... What's the question needs more context. Does he mean...
No, the context is about Mr. Brightside and Will trying to get him talking about... Can you not read between the lines?
Yeah, but this is a long-winded question. Yeah,
or is it for a horse to go and race like on there?
Yeah, a Hayes horse to go and race in Hong Kong. A Lindsay Park horse, not a David Hayes horse.
Just for one race?
Yeah. Which horse should go to International Day from the Hayes camp?
Mr. Brightside.
Mr. Brightside again. It wasn't a serious question, fellas. It was just a joke.
Fuck you, Coops.
Coops, do you prefer summer or winter racing? Ooh, this is actually not a bad question.
That's a great question. I don't know. I think I prefer like the actual races in winter, but I think it's easier to bet in summer.
Summer can be hard because it's just spring's finish and it's just like just the slop left over.
But every now and then you get wet tracks shits me sometimes.
What? I'm talking about summer.
Yeah, summer's good. You get fast tracks.
Yeah, I'm going to say summer because of dry tracks. You know, you'll get
stack
a couple
of leaders
of
around the valley. Simple game.
The Christmas Stakes, the Australia Stakes.
Just excel all year round like I do. Doesn't matter.
Murabi. and the last one. Bot, can we get a Tour de France update, please? When does this start?
It's already started.
It's up stage six tonight.
Who's got Pogacar the yellow jacket?
Pogacar's got the yellow. He's got the polka dot and he's got the green. Evenepoel is in white.
Which one do we bet on?
Well, I don't know.
Which ones are doing drugs?
They all are.
All of them, mate.
You're telling me these blokes are riding 200 kilometres a day plus and they're not on the gear? Give me a spell. Up mountains? No, they're just doing blood transfusions. Yeah, fuck.
IV drips. Are they allowed to do IV? Was that banned as well? I don't know.
I don't know. No idea. But Pogacar is probably just going to win.
Pogacar, the goat.
J-Mac's an avid watcher of the Tour de France. He loves it.
I love the Tour de France. The Netflix series is quite good.
Have
you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen the racing one yet either. Have you?
J-Mac was yapping about that.
I can't stand that shit.
He was yapping about the other bloke.
Americans are cringe. Well,
the other good rider. He reckons that he might put it to today up the few of the mountains like he did last year.
Vingegaard.
Yeah, that bloke. Vingegaard.
Nah, he's not this year.
No, right.
Anyway,
my
same game multi one, fellas. That's all that matters. It was Brisbane to win. Jared Berry 15, Ollie Holland's 15, Hewitt 20, Ashcroft 20, Zorko 20. It won easily. $2.50. Just had a max launch on that. So, you beauty. Get in.
Beautiful.
What am I meant to do with that information?
I don't know.
Get that on punters. Punters are going to give you another. What do they do? The
self-trumper of the week.
Trump of the week. Have I ever got? Because
Nico's got more votes than me.
Have I ever got a vote?
No, it's just me and Nico, I think.
Yeah.
You usually have splinters in your ass to make.
Nico got some votes for his lovely quote last week about it not being his fault.
Did I?
All the right. Yeah.
Did I actually? There you go. I hope I got three.
I think you did. I think you got three or four.
That's pretty good. I got so that means I got six votes. So that's two best ons.
Yeah. Jeez. I think you and Miles actually do quite well in the self-trumpet of the year.
Oh, we would.
I would have fucking
because
thought.
Because it's two blokes who don't really give a fuck what people think and are not afraid to have their opinion.
Clearly, you tune into the podcast as well.
Who?
The Punters Podcast. Oh.
I don't listen to shit that's below me, so it doesn't matter.
Fuck you. Don't say that shit, mate. Fuck.
I actually tune into that part.
I only like to listen to myself.
I don't always listen to the whole thing, but I listen to that part because it's quite entertaining. All right, let's wrap up the podcast.
Next week when I get three votes for giving them a drive-by like I've just done, just clip that up for me.
It's been an indifferent podcast, quite so-so racing, but good horses aren't too far away. They'll start to trial in the next couple of weeks. And the first Group 1, I think it's only 8 weeks away, the Memsy. So that's crazy to think.
Antino, moral.
It's not far away, punters. Hang in there, and we'll see you back here next Thursday night.